Good morning. And thank you all for being here today to share the Dharma. Today we are in Zazenkai, our one-day session. Session, whether it is for one day, 3 days, 7 days, is crucial to our practice. None of us can do this work alone. Even sitting together for an hour of a morning carries us further than we can go on our own. To say that sitting or a session is just a bunch of individuals sitting in a room is like saying that a river is just a bunch of water molecules that all happen to be going in the same direction. A river has its own identity, its own physics that go infinitely beyond a single drop or a single molecule. A session, a zazenkai, is like that. The Buddha said that the company of noble friends is the whole of this practice. Each of us is a part of that whole, and each of us is that whole. So whether you are here for the day or any part of the day, take full advantage. Dive into the practice. As for listening to the Taisho is also practice. The listening is practice. Don't try to judge, evaluate, and above all, don't try to remember. Just let it wash through you, like the noise of the traffic outside or a wave. Today we will work on a case in the Pi Yen Lu, the Blue Cliff Record, more familiar to us by its Japanese title, Hekigan Roku. The Blue Cliff Record is the second classical book of koans that we work with in this lineage. It is a collection of 100 cases compiled by Master Zhui Do. His Japanese name is Secho. It's done early in the 11th century of the Common Era. Zhui Do also added a verse to each case and sometimes a comment. The cases of the Blue Cliff Record are mostly quintessential Rinzai koans, direct, often confrontive, demanding an immediate response, genuine Dharma combat. Shui To's Dharma successor, Master Yen Wu, added a series of lengthy commentaries on each case, an introduction, and line-by-line comments on the case and the verse. All of this is available to us in an English translation by the Cleary brothers. And it's a book that's great fun to nose around in. But for today, we will work just on a case. Pi Yen Lu, case number 6. Yun Men addressed the assembly, saying, "I don't ask you about the days before the 15th of the month, but what about after the 15th? Give me a word about those days." Yun Men himself answered for everyone, "Every day is a good day." Yun Men, his Japanese name is Umon, is the last great master of what has been called the Golden Age of Chan, that is, the Tang period of ancient China. His dates are 864 to 949 of the Common Era. So he lived during the final collapse of the Tang Dynasty. and he was born shortly after one of the great suppressions of Buddhism. But during his life, Buddhism was gradually restored in the southern autonomous regions where he spent most of his career. He is a Dharma heir of Shui Feng, that's Seppo in Japanese. So he is a Dharma brother of Changqing, Choke, and Xuansha, Gensha, among others. Yunmen, whose initial Buddhist name was Wenyan, spent his early years studying Buddhist scripture and monastic rules, and eventually he became a lecturer. His first Chan teacher was Mu Zhou. His Japanese name is Bokushu. Mu Zhou had once been with Huang Po, but he quit monastic life altogether and lived as a recluse. It was said that only the extremely persistent could even get in to see him. Well, one version of the story goes that Wenyan went to see Mu Zhou and knocked on the door. Mu Zhou called out, "Who is it?" Wenyan said, "It's me, Wenyan." The old man opened the door, seized him by the lapels, and shouted, "Speak, speak!" Wenyan was paralyzed, and Mu Zhou said, "Useless stuff!" and slammed the door in his face. The next day, Wenyan came again and knocked, and as before, he could not respond to Mu Zhou's demand and got the door slammed in his face again. The third day he came, knocked, and Mu Zhou called out, "Who is it?" "It's me, Wenyan." Mu Zhou opened the door, grabbed him, and shouted, "Speak, speak!" Wenyan still could not answer, but he stuck his foot in the door, and Mu Zhou slammed the door on his foot, breaking it. Wenyan fell back with a cry of pain, and suddenly he was awakened. Well, the story is most likely apocryphal, but it reflects the spirit of the times. And in a way, it also points to this koan. After about 3 years, Mu Zhou directed Wenyan to go to Elephant Bone Mountain, where he encountered the equally severe training of Shui Feng, medicine that would revive a dead horse, as they say. He was probably in his late 30s when he left Elephant Bone Mountain, and after about 10 years of traveling, he became head monk at Lingzhu Monastery under Master Ru Min. It was after the death of Ru Min that he eventually established Yunmen Monastery at the base of Yunmen Shan. Yunmen means the gate of the clouds, so Yunmen Shan is Gate of the Clouds Mountain. Yunmen Shan was already the site of Buddhist caves and temples dating back to the 6th century. Like most Chan masters, he took the name of the mountain. Throughout his teaching career, Yunmen enjoyed the full support and respect of the emperors of the southern Han. Yunmen did not want his words to be written down. Whenever he caught someone trying to take notes, he chased them out of the temple, saying, "Because your own mouth is not good for anything, you come to note down my words. It is certain that someday you'll sell me." But some of his disciples surreptitiously wrote down his words on their paper robes. So, ironically, the record of Yunmen is one of the most complete of all the Tang masters. This, along with the fact that Shui Do, the compiler of the Hekigan Roku, the Blue Cliff Record, and a number of Song Dynasty monks were direct descendants of Yunmen, are some reasons he shows up in the classical koan collections more than any other master, and thus his enormous impact on latter-day Chan. Yun Men's teaching style was tough, energetic, and highly original. He quoted freely from the ancient masters, but he usually managed to put his own spin on the teaching. He is famous for putting out a question and answering it himself, as in the present case. Here are some other examples. At a donated meal, the master asked a monk, "Forget about all the phrases that you've learned in the monasteries and tell me, how does my food taste?" On behalf of the silent monks, he said, "There's too little salt and vinegar on the vegetables." When a monk came for instruction, the master lifted his robe and said, "If you can put it in words, you fall into the trap of my robe. If you cannot, then you're sitting in a demon's cave. What do you do?" He answered on behalf of the monk, "I'm exhausted." Once Master Yun Men said, "When Bodhidharma came from the West, why did he have trouble getting successors?" In place of the silent audience, he said, "Oh, come off it." You gotta love this guy. Yun Men addressed the assembly, saying, "I don't ask you about the days before the 15th of the month, but what about after the 15th? Give me a word about those days." Yun Men himself answered for everyone, "Every day is a good day." Before the 15th, after the 15th. In the Chinese lunar calendar, a month went from dark of the moon to dark of the moon. So the 15th was the time of the full moon, and the full moon is often used as a metaphor for awakening, kensho. So what is Yun Men asking? Does it have to do with before enlightenment and after enlightenment? Ignorance, enlightenment, ordinary person, sage, good, evil, man, woman, light, dark. Before the 15th, how do ordinary persons brush their teeth? After the 15th, how do fully enlightened Buddhas brush their teeth? Can anyone show me the difference? And yet, there is always that "and yet," isn't there? If we get caught up in pernicious oneness, the notion that there is no difference between ignorance and enlightenment, what happens to practice? The 17th century Japanese master Tenkei, a contemporary of Hakuan, says, "Before the 15th of the month, there is the bright sun and the blue sky with nothing to ask and nothing to say. And after the 15th, too, there is also the bright sun and the blue sky with nothing to ask and nothing to say. Even so, if that were all there is to it, our heritage would end. The way of Zen would be destroyed. This is what is meant by the expression, the stagnant water of transcendence. In this world of time, space, and karma, there is realization, the head of the dragon. There is practice, the tail, and there is past and future." So Yun Men's question is a legitimate one. Never mind before the 15th. You were an idiot. But what about after the 15th? What about after this morning? What about after today? After this moment? Where are you right now? Where is your mind and what is it doing? Tell me something about your realization. It's not surprising that nobody answered. Yun Men is one of the most intimidating figures of all of Chan. So Yun Men himself answered for everyone. Every day is a good day. Every day is a good day. Really? What is a good day? And how do we know if it is a good day or not? Is it a day in which only good stuff happens? A smiley face day? Is it a day of unbridled and shallow optimism? Like when Candide, we say, this is the best of all possible worlds, no matter how rotten things are. What are good things that happen? And how do we know? There's a Chinese folktale about a farmer who was thrifty, hardworking, and very prosperous. All his neighbors said he was a man of good fortune. One day, the farmer's best mare ran off and disappeared. The farmer's neighbors all sympathized with him about such a stroke of bad fortune. A few days later, the mare returned, and following her was a magnificent wild stallion. All the neighbors congratulated the farmer on his wonderful good luck. Not long after that, the farmer's eldest son decided to break the stallion for riding, but the horse reared and threw him to the ground, breaking the young man's leg. The neighbors said what a terrible piece of bad luck had happened. Then, soldiers came around, conscripting able-bodied young men to fight in the Imperial Army. But since the farmer's son had a broken leg, he could not be taken. The neighbors commented on the farmer's great good fortune that his son was not taken. So there it is. Good becomes bad, bad becomes good, and there's no way to know. It's a nice story, but it doesn't quite reach it. Every day is a good day. It's not an exhortation to practice or to optimism. It is a statement of fact, hard as that may be to believe. I woke up this morning feeling great. Every day is a good day. I woke up this morning feeling lousy. Every day is a good day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing. Every day is a good day. It's 5 below and snowing. Every day is a good day. Something between 2 million and 5 million African children die each year from respiratory diseases. Every day is a good day. As many as 200,000 people were killed in an earthquake in an impoverished country in the Caribbean. Every day is a good day. What is this every day is a good day? Zhao Zhou said, others are used by the 24 hours of the day. I use the 24 hours. Now we begin to see it. A good day is a day of practice. A good day is a day of which we make use. A day that we settle into our practice rather than being used, blown about by the capricious winds of greed, hatred, and ignorance. Once again, I'll read a story from my favorite scripture, Zen Flesh, Zen Bones by Nyogen Senzaki and Paul Reps. Hyakujo, that's Paizhang, the Chinese Zen master, used to labor with his pupils, even at the age of 80, trimming the gardens, cleaning the grounds, and pruning the trees. The pupils felt sorry to see the old teacher working so hard, but they knew he would not listen to their advice to stop, so they hid away his tools. That day, the master did not eat. The next day, he did not eat, nor the next. He may be angry because we have hidden his tools, the pupils surmised. We had better put them back. The day they did, the teacher worked and ate the same as before. In the evening, he instructed them, no work, no food. Hyakujo is teaching an important lesson here. And as Dainin Roshi pointed out in a Teisho a while back, the lesson is not just about the value of manual labor or of earning one's keep. A day of work and we can eat. A day of practice and we reap the benefit of practice. That is a good day. Working and eating are not separate. Labor and the fruits of labor are not separate. Practice and the fruits of practice are not separate. Practice and enlightenment are not separate. Zazen and coming forth are not separate. A day of practice is a day of enlightenment. For Hyakujo and for us, a day of work, a day of practice, a day that you hone your awareness is a good day. It has nothing to do with circumstances. It is not about what happens. So to come back to the beginning, what is this 15th of the month? Is it really about Kensho? Do you need to have some kind of enlightenment experience in order to practice? In order to have a good day, in order to create a good day, in order to be a good day? If you wait for some kind of defining moment, you may wait a very long time. All you really have to do, is decide to practice. Every moment that we return to the breath, every moment that we return to Mu, every moment that we return to this moment is the 15th of the month. Before and after, don't enter in. This moment is a good day. A monk once asked Paizhang, what is the extraordinary affair? That is, what is the essence, the ultimate truth? Zhang said, sitting alone on the sublime peak, it's a good day. A monk asked Kyorin, what is the meaning of the patriarchs coming from the West? Another way of asking that same question. Kyorin said, sitting long and getting tired, it's a good day. Are you sitting solidly? A quiet mind. It's a good day. Are you sitting with your head in a bucket with thoughts banging around inside like ball bearings? It's a good day. Back hurt? Knees sore? It's a good day. Joyful? Sad? Enlightened? Ignorant? Every day is a good day. Every day is a day of transcendence, of prajna truth. Every day is true. Every day is real, to misquote Dogen. For anyone who makes an effort in the practice, it's a good day. For anyone who commits to the practice, it's a good day. For one who puts others before themselves, it's a good day. The day that we serve others is a good day. We are all sitting here together, doing Zazen, as best we can. We practice the truth. We are the truth. How can it not be a good day? Together with all beings, we realize the way.